All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Los Angeles Kings crowned the Vancouver Canucks 6-3. Tough start and poor special teams are the story in this one as the Canucks fall to their fourth loss in six games with the playoffs just around the corner. Lots to get into on this episode of Rinkwide Vancouver. Inside the Rinkwide Vancouver studio in the lower lobby of the Wall Center Hotel. Center really does say it all. The Wall Center truly in the middle of the downtown core, close to just about everything from restaurants to shopping to sports and theater venues to English Bay and Stanley Park. Whether you have people in from out of town or you're considering a staycation yourself, make sure it includes the Wall Center Hotel. Jeff Patterson joined on this episode of Rinkwide by Farhan Lalji of TSN. Farhan, you've been in the TV business for decades, but we're going to try to make you a YouTube sensation tonight. Hey, we're happy to have you along for the first episode of Rinkwide streaming live.
Couldn't have helped us with a win, though.
No. We're excited to explore the opportunities that this platform is going to provide the podcast. It's the same content with new delivery and distribution options. Still a podcast for those that want to consume it that way on their own schedule, but really excited to be back in the live post-game space to harness that emotion that comes with every win, but that also comes with losses like this one to the LA Kings.
Yeah, and once again, the Canucks haven't beaten a playoff team for about a month now, right? March 9th was the last time they did it against Winnipeg, and this game followed a familiar script to the LA Kings. They've now given up the first goal in all four games they've played against them. Couple of power play goals early in this game. You know, just a week and a half ago, we were lauding this penalty kill about it, just how impressive it had been. Defensively, their structure was supposedly so good. And since then, in the last couple of games, it's just fallen apart on both ends of that. So they give up the two early power play goals. And then much like the Vegas game the other night, every time it looked like they got a sniff, they gave up another one right away. And it just looks like a team that at times goes to sleep, at times plays careless, and certainly at times a team that looks like it has no business having any success in the Stanley Cup playoffs, which are just right around the corner right now. And then in behind them, you got the Edmonton Oilers now. After their win in Calgary, they're nipping at the Canucks' heels. The Oilers control their own destiny because of the game in hand and the fact that they play the Canucks. So the Canucks certainly control theirs as well, but recurring themes for this team. And if they don't get it fixed, you better enjoy those first couple of parties because it's all you're going to get.
Yeah, they could have used a save too, and certainly goaltending is becoming a topic with Thatcher Demko back on the ice. That's the good news. The other is that Casey DeSmith has now lost four straight games. The two wins the Canucks have in the last couple of weeks have both been Arthur Silov's victories, and Casey DeSmith lost to the Kings twice, to the Dallas Stars, and we know what happened in Vegas at the outset of this road trip. The Canucks go 1-2 on this three-game roadie, and then you've got the defending Stanley Cup champs who aren't going to be in a particularly good mood after getting shelled for six goals in the third period in Arizona last night. Vegas's next game here in Vancouver on Monday. That's the next game for the Canucks. But let's go back to the start of this hockey game, because Teddy Bluger gets called for a slashing penalty deep in the offensive zone, chopped the stick out of a Kings defender. I didn't have a problem with that call. A little bit of a lack of discipline on the part of Bluger. The Kings score. That's when Adrian Kempe, the snapshot off right wing, and it looked like Casey DeSmith was drifting there, and Nikita Zadorov didn't do a whole lot to help his goaltender take away a shooting lane. But 1-0 on their heels, down early, and then I kind of thought Dakota Joshua got a bit of a raw deal. Runs into Akil Thomas at the benches, and yes, he gets his hands up into the face of the Kings forward. I thought there was enough of a response from Thomas that in a 1-0 game where the Kings had just scored on a power play, that the referees could have taken the easy way out there and given them coincidental minors. Yep. But Dakota Joshua puts it in the referee's hands. He gets his gloves up into Thomas's face. They put him in the box. The Kings score the second time. That was Doughty in the slot, the one-timer. And 5 minutes into this hockey game, Canucks know the importance of these games against the Kings and trying to get out in front. Not only have they given up the first goal to the Los Angeles Kings in all four of the meetings this year, Farhan, they didn't play with a lead for a single second. The one win they had was overtime. Yep. And in that game, they had to chase and finally got onto even terms. But in this game, this was an uphill battle all night long when they spotted the Kings, the two early power play goals.
Yeah, and then Brock Besser did get them back into it. And when you looked at this game, you know, through the end of the first period, you look at it from a 5-on-5 perspective, as the Canucks are wont to do. And the Canucks actually played pretty well, outshot them, outchanced them. But ultimately, the penalty kill counts. When you look at both of those goals, Casey DeSmith looks small. And guess what? Casey DeSmith is small, right? Yeah. He's a smaller goaltender. And I think he's been so aggressive, you know, in a number of the games where he was having success, that he came out, was able to cut down angles, and he was playing very deep in the net. You talk about that first goal, Jeff, where, you know, we thought that he got caught too far on the left side, but maybe it was Zadorov's responsibility to take away the other lane so that DeSmith just has to play half the net. Zadorov didn't do his part. And again, I mean, DeSmith gave up all sorts of room. But then on the Doughty shot as well, Doughty doesn't get all of it. Wide open in the slot. But again, DeSmith is playing real deep in his net. The Canucks defensively make a poor read. And it's a top corner shot, again, with a lot of space. And he can't make that save. So to me, I'm getting Spencer Martin vibes. Because when we saw Spencer Martin last year, he looked really good early on when he was getting those spot starts. But then all of a sudden, Thatcher Demko got injured. He had to go in and get an extended run, and it just wasn't there for him. And quite frankly, I think they should have started Archer Sillups. And I know that was a bit of a debate. And, you know, in fairness to DeSmith, he's had the tougher matchups. Sure. Oh, yeah. And Sillups had the two games against non-playoff teams. He played really well in those games, but he's a bigger goaltender. He was playing well. He was trending well, whereas DeSmith, in his last couple of games, maybe he wasn't. I know Tocchet felt a level of loyalty, felt that DeSmith had earned this start. But he also said this morning, or maybe yesterday, that he also feels that there might be another window for Sillups to get another start. So maybe that happens against a playoff team on Monday. But the Canucks need better goaltending than they've gotten from Casey DeSmith in their last two starts, especially on the penalty kill. Your goaltender's got to be your best killer. Their structure hasn't been good. They're giving up lanes. They're getting collapsed deep. You need your goaltender to make a save. And, you know, you look at the expected goals in this game. At 5-on-5, they were less than 2. Casey DeSmith didn't do his part. Can't blame it all on him. This team played poorly in front of him, but they need their goaltender.
Final shots were 42-29. The Canucks got 42 shots. All this talk about breaking down the Kings, the 1-3-1, the Canucks score 3 goals, and a lot of times out on the road, 3 goals should be enough to get you into overtime, at least get you something, but not when you're giving up 6 the way the Canucks ultimately did, and they trade shorthanded goals there in the third period. So, I mean, the story around this Canuck team for the last couple of weeks has been, oh, they're struggling to score goals, but they've got this defensive structure. Well, in 2 of the 3 games against the 2 good teams on this road trip, structure went out the window, and they've got 5 games to go. So not only do they have the Oilers breathing down their neck, and next Saturday they're in Edmonton for a game that probably will determine top spot in the Pacific Division, but more than that for the Canucks, it's 5 games left here to figure out who's going to be healthy, when's Demko going to be back, will they get Elias Lindholm back, and can they rediscover all the things that have made them a good team for much of this season. But we know the struggles since the All-Star break, and those have been underscored here on this road trip, and even at the tail end of the long homestand against those playoff teams. That's been the problem for the Vancouver Canucks. So you can understand the angst in the market. Special teams have been an issue. We'll get to the stat that stands out a little bit later on, and it touches on penalty killing for the Vancouver Canucks. I just want to go back to Dakota Joshua, because he hadn't played against the Kings this season, and I was excited before the game, because I realized just moments before faceoff, he was out for the first 3 with the hand injury. what do we always talk about? The Kings and time and space and, you know, playoff style hockey. I thought, all right, here's a chance for Dakota Joshua to, you know, make an impact the way that he did in the game against Anaheim the other day, the home game at the tail end of the homestand. Discipline. Obviously, we talked about the penalty that he took. The Kings scored to make it 2-0. And then whatever he said to the officials, obviously, they said, I hope you're happy in the penalty box there because you're going to sit for another 10. And, you know, we've seen this from the Canucks before. You know, a month ago, Rick Tocchet was lamenting the number of penalties. It was the stupid stick penalties that he was talking about. That's not this case, but discipline. Come playoff time, like Dakota Joshua, zip it. You're already in this 2-0 hole. You can't. Like, I don't know what he said, but I hope he got it out of his system because he can't be doing that in
well,
playoff time.
And he's proven he's an indispensable player for this team. And I know the standard on penalties is a little different in the playoffs, but when the Canucks penalty kill was operating really well and they had killed 12 straight, that was over five games. What does that tell you? They're not taking a lot of penalties.
Yeah.
When they take a lot of penalties, they're not good enough, right? Especially when you don't have your starting goaltender. So I don't think they've helped themselves during the stretch with the number of additional penalties they've taken. You mentioned Tocchet has lamented the types of penalties that they're taking. A lot of those same types of stick penalties that they got in trouble with earlier. So, you know, and Joshua, yeah, you're in the penalty box for 10 minutes. Your team's not shorthanded during that time, but this is an important player for this team. You know, and now they've gotten Joshua back. They don't have Demko, you know, so this is a team that overall has been really healthy, but they don't have it in them to necessarily overcome a lot of adversity. They need these guys back, if for no other reason, just some mental health. The day that Thatcher Demko steps onto the ice, everybody in this Canuck uniform is going to get about 3 inches taller, right? Like, that's just going to happen. Even Connor Garland.
Well, I want right? to see that.
Like, that's going to happen, but that's kind of how fragile this team is. They just need any level of mojo to kind of get themselves up. And I think that's what it's going to take right now, because as long as it's same, same, guess what results we're going to get? Same, same, which is not to suggest they need to bring Thatcher Demko back before he's ready, because that's just not the recipe. Like, they need to make sure that Thatcher Demko's knee is not just physically ready, but that he is mentally ready, which means he's got full belief in it, right? I think Demko's likely to come back sooner than Lindholm. And Lindholm wasn't very good, probably strong, but he was just kind of average. At least offensively, he wasn't very good, but in other stages or in other areas of the game, he was good. But them getting him back just allowed them to say mentally, oh, yeah, yeah, we got our guy back. We got a guy back. Like, well, they kind of are so fragile right now. They need these lifts.
Right, but we talked about Lindholm and the fact that, okay, he hasn't been great offensively. Where has he contributed?
Yeah.
Penalty kill. And it's taken face a hit off since he's been out of the lineup. Absolutely. Yep. And Demko, too. Through all of this, and look, 6-3 doesn't look good on the Canucks. The fact that the Kings take 7 of 8 points from the Vancouver Canucks on the regular season, they had the Canucks number. And we talked about the one win the Canucks did get came in overtime. All that said, 2-0, the quick start for the Kings. The final 15 minutes of the first period at even strength, as you mentioned, they settled down. They settled into the game. Brock Besser gets his 39th goal of the season midway through the third. Farron, you can make an argument that the game kind of turned on an Elias Pettersson breakaway on an incredible pass from Vasily Podkolzin. Yeah. Most of this season, you'd say that's the guy you want to have the puck on his stick in that kind of opportunity. Yeah, I think he got a decent look away. Didn't score, obviously. But if he does score, he's got a 2-point first period. People wanted this guy to make an impact in big games. Yeah, he made a decent play on the Besser goal. That was one of the turning points in this hockey game, is that, you know, they didn't have those kind of clear-cut looks, and Pettersson gets sprung on a partial breakaway, and if he scores there, they've erased the deficit. It's a 2-2 game. They've got momentum. They put the Kings back on their heel. It didn't happen. And then early in the second period, the Kings extend that lead.
Talking about Pettersson, right? 6 shots in this game, right? So that, I guess that's a positive. And the bar for Pettersson has been completely lowered. Like, we just look at, oh, he had some shots and he had 3 hits and, oh, maybe he's getting a little better and he's got a bit more going on. I don't know, right? Like, I don't know what it's going to take. Pettersson before might be a little bit more deliberate with that shot, or he might try a deke. Yeah, there was a defenseman coming down, but it almost felt like a bit of a panic shot, you know, in that moment. Like, he thought he could have done a little bit more with it, but he's clearly not feeling it right now. So I don't know what it's going to take. I don't know how he's going to turn it on. I mean, every post-game show you and Irv do, that's the conversation. When are they going to get more out of Pettersson? Everybody is looking for some signs of life to say, oh, yeah, yeah, he was better tonight. He was better tonight. I don't know. Maybe he was. I don't know. It's hard to say.
He's gone 8 without a goal now. So, you know who else has kind of gone quiet is JT Miller.
He had a point streak. But we know from Pettersson, you can get quiet points.
JT's up to 97 points. He had the assist on the Dakota Joshua goal, so it wasn't all bad for Joshua, but certainly didn't like the start to his hockey game. Joshua scores 7 minutes into the third, makes it a 4-2 game, and you're thinking there's lots of time here. This team has been able to generate offense, not necessarily against the Kings, but they weren't out of it at 4-2. unfortunately, as you said, kind of like Vegas the other night, it just felt when the Canucks crept close enough to the Kings, Kings would step on the gas again and kind of squish the Canucks out of the talking game. But JT has a 7-game point streak, which kind of surprised me, actually, when I was going through the game notes. He only has one goal in his last six, and that was the one set up by Garland against the Dallas Stars, tail end of the homestand as well. So this team is going to have trouble winning hockey games if two leading offensive producers in JT Miller and Elias Pettersson aren't scoring with any sort of regularity. And that's been the problem for Pettersson, but JT has kind of gone a little bit quiet, even though the points are still there. It just doesn't feel like he's having the impact on games that he has for most of the season.
19-6 was the Corsi numbers for JT Miller tonight. And again, like I don't disagree with you. And sometimes these stats can be deceiving, but you know, you look at it and yeah, they absolutely need more from him. And I just feel that Garland and Joshua is set up to dominate. You'll get flashes, you'll get spurts, but we're not seeing dominant shift after shift, high danger scoring chance after high danger scoring chance. We're not seeing it as much as we should because, you know, whatever it takes, maybe you find a way because one of the strengths of that third line when it was constructed previously was the matchups they got. So, you know, one of the things that you bring up, we talk about Pettersson not scoring and then early in the second, LA makes it 3-1. And it was a goal that was really close to offside. And we were debating whether a challenge should have been made there. And I know that Talkin has put his lines in a blender from time to time, but is he doing enough coaching, right? Like there are moments like when you gave up the two power play goals, is there a moment there to take a timeout and reset your team? They did play well after going down 2-0.
Right.
So maybe that wasn't needed. You give up those early goals or you go down 4-1. Is there a moment where you can change goaltenders to try to just shake up your team? Casey, we're not blaming you.
Yeah. He has not had the hook out all season. Thatcher Demko has left two games. The opener against the Oilers way back when he was dehydrated in the Winnipeg game when he got hurt. Rick Tocchet has not had an in-game coaching decision goaltender change all season long. Like, and that speaks to how much winning they've done.
I'm not hounding him specifically on the goaltending change, but just those lack of touch points. Yeah. And, you know, I kind of think he should have challenged that offside, but I get why he didn't. The penalty kill's just given up two goals. You don't go through that again, like given how bad the penalty kill has looked and how bad DeSmith looked in there as well. So you better be 1,000% sure, but it just feels like other than throwing the lines in a blender, we haven't necessarily seen that type of in-game coaching. And I don't want to be overly critical. Like, I think Rick Tocchet could win Coach of the Year. I think that prior to the All-Star break, if nothing else, this team has established a level of structure and attention to detail defensively. And they built up a cushion in the standings that still may carry them into first place in the division. But it still feels like in-game more could happen.
After the Colorado game, when they had the 3-0 lead and it got away, and I remember asking him practice, whether it was the next day or that week, about philosophically his thoughts on using a timeout to try to settle his team down, to either berate them and try and light a fire out of them, or just to calm the game down and slow it down and try and take momentum away. He is a believer in keeping the timeout for late game strategy, but he did admit that there were some times throughout the year where he probably thought in hindsight he could have and should have. I thought the Colorado game was one, and I'm with you at 2-0 here early, but he also said he doesn't really need to call a timeout, that there are TV timeouts. There are enough stoppages where if he feels that he has to run up and down the bench, he can do that. So just that's kind of in, you know, a little bit of his thinking on that topic. But I'm with you. I just thought we know the storyline around this club and it's play against playoff teams and Casey DeSmith and his play against playoff teams. And, you know, you asked that question, like, should this have been a Silov start? And it's hard to argue with that. I think it's pretty clear now that Artur Silovs will get the start against the Golden Knights on Monday. And that's stepping up a huge weight class. But, you know, he can only face the team in front of you, and he's done his job there. So we'll see if he's ready. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, like, if Thatcher Demko's not ready by midweek, you know, what do you do? Like, if Demko's not available for the game next week in Edmonton, who gets the call there? We're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit. But goaltending was an issue, and it has been. And maybe it's too much to expect from the backup to step into these big situations. But Casey DeSmith's been around the block. I mean, this guy, you know, 32 years of age, he's at times had to step into these kinds of situations. Whatever the case, it wasn't a great night for him. But also, like, you look at some of the goals, like the Fiala goal that makes it 4-1, not Carson Soucy's finest moment in a game where he and Tyler Myers struggled mightily in the first period, even though we talked about the Canucks sort of taking over 5-on-5. Not when they were on the ice, and just about everything that could go wrong for Carson Soucy did as he tried to track down Kevin Fiala on that 4-1 goal.
Yeah, and when you look at what this D looked like, and you know, Soucy, remember when he came back off injury, we just talked about what his record was and just how good he was and how valuable he was. And, you know, he he's certainly come down to earth a little bit. Here's one, because I think you and I have both been on the same page around Ian Cole. You know, there have been some hiccups, I think, at times, not tonight, but at other times he struggled on the penalty kill. When you go back to them not being able to clear the puck at key times, quite often it's Ian Cole. Guess who killed it tonight in Corsi and high danger scoring chances? They were like 70% with Ian Cole on the ice. 8-1, high dangers.
I got an assist on the Besser goal.
Yeah, so he bounced back. But, you know, I would like to see Zadorov get into the lineup, because I do think structurally they're better when they've got three guys playing on the right side. But they just don't have a ton of options. And when you talk about goaltending, this team's defensive staples haven't been good enough the last couple of weeks. And so at a time when they need their starting goaltender the most, he's not available to them, right? So it is difficult. I'm not saying that to blame Thatcher Demko. Like, you come back when you're healthy. But it's been a tough ask now, because as much as Casey DeSmith in his last 2 to 3 games hasn't been as good, neither have the players in front of him.
22nd outright loss of the season for the Vancouver Canucks. 47-22-8 now. They sit on 102 points. Edmonton up to 99 after its win in the Battle of Alberta. So again, the Oilers are 3 back of the Canucks. They've got a game in hand, and they still have the head-to-head next Saturday. We should mention as well that with this win, the Los Angeles Kings, who've now won 6 in a row at home and have an absolutely tissue-soft schedule the rest of the way. They don't leave Southern California. Their only road game is across town in Anaheim. The Kings move past both Vegas and Nashville. So LA is going to spend the night in third in the Pacific Division, a point ahead of the Vegas Golden Knights. Vegas does have a game in hand there. Vegas and Nashville tied on 92 points, so Vegas is the first wild card right now. Nashville slides to wild card number 2. 6-3 is the final score. The Los Angeles Kings defeat the Vancouver Canucks. You're watching the streaming live edition of Rink Wide Vancouver.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Welcome back to Rinkwide Vancouver. 6-3, the Los Angeles Kings defeat the Vancouver Canucks. Jeff Patterson along with Farhan Lalji. We're going to hear from Rick Tockett here in a sec. But before we do that, I want to make mention of this event that you've probably heard by now, but we want you to join us on April 20th at the Hollywood Theater. Garrison Price crew, the Canucks Army guys as well. Saturday, April 20th, Hollywood Theater and Kits. Special tribute to our late friend Jason Botchford. And we had a great Botchford Project alumni event last night. Great to catch up with all the young people that have gone through that program, some who've already been able to land full-time work. Quadrelli's my boss now. That's how quickly life moves. I know.
It's even shaved.
This event coming up on the 20th is presented by Fountain Tire. It's called Bro Do Your Playoffs. It's a media event celebrating the life and legacy of Jason. It's going to feature shared memories, special guests, an exclusive performance from the matinee, and a celebration of Vancouver's triumphant return to the playoffs. Yeah, playoff hockey is coming this way. We'll see ultimately what it looks like when they get up and running. Make the shift to more savings. Save up to 25% on select tires until April 20th, plus a $50 bonus off any service of $150 or more. Book your appointment at fountaintire.com. Some restrictions do apply. This event's in support of the BC Mental Health Foundation. Tickets are only $10. So join us on April 20th for a memorable experience where every ticket purchase contributes to making a positive impact on the community. Get your tickets at nationgear.ca. Going to have our three stars of the game, the stat that stands out, but want to hear from Rick Tocchet. End of the night, end of this road trip. Canucks go 1-3 with the win in Arizona, but the losses to division mates Vegas and Los Angeles. Two of those teams will be playoff bound. Arizona is not. So, again, it's a struggle right now for the Vancouver Canucks against some of these teams that are headed to the postseason. Here's Rick Tocchet after the game at Crypto.com.
Yeah, the two power play goals early, you know, a little undisciplined, and then you're chasing the game.
I know the team feels the Vegas game. You guys were trying to claw your way back and then give them a power play.
No, the Vegas game weren't that bad, but we were in the game today. We had some chances. They converted. We didn't. They only had a couple of chances in the first period. So you can look at the Swiss goals and think it's bad, but I kind of should like the effort. Guys tried hard. Just too many egregious mistakes, you know. Then it's in your net, you know. We had a lot of chances. Just didn't convert. They did. No, I just look at this game. I don't care about what's in the past. We got five games before the playoffs start. So you analyze this game. I don't care what happened in the past. Tonight, like I said, we gave them too much. They didn't give them a lot of stuff, but when they did, their conversion rate was great. We didn't. We had some chances. We had a couple of breakaways. We had somebody in the high slot. And we, you know, if we connect, and then we gave them those freebies early. It's 2-0. So, no, I'm just analyzing this game.
Do you have a target for Thatcher return?
Same as always. It's, I don't have an exact date, but it's fairly soon.
The power play had some better looks than I thought. Maybe more movement?
We had 9 or 10 shots, yeah. Just conversion, you know. We didn't better. It was better, but we got to convert at some place. 10 shots, you got to convert. Maybe next game we won't. So, but I'm happy with the way we got the shots. We just got to make sure we put them in now.
There you go, Rick Tocchet, trying to find some positives out of 6-3 loss to the Los Angeles Kings. Officially 9 shots on the power play, but this kind of tells the story, Farhan. The Canucks went 0-9 on those 9 shots they had with their power play. Kings were 2 shots, 2 goals on the power play. So they were efficient, they were precise, and those 2 power play goals generated the early 2-0 lead.
And I'm not sure what the bigger concern is right now, quite frankly, because I think for the longest time we were worried about this power play, but I think the penalty kill is a bigger concern right now. When you look at the lack of ability on reads, guys getting caught out of position, how easily that box collapses, and not necessarily to block shots. They're trying to take away lanes and they open up space up top. It feels like whatever decision they make isn't a good one. And then all of a sudden, you get a minute 43 on a 5-on-3, and they were great, right? Denied a lot of entries, made plays at the blue line, were able to get pucks out. You know, it's hard to figure. And maybe a lot of people believe that as soon as Thatcher Demko comes back, that having your goaltender back is going to make the penalty kill look great. But I do think it'll take a minute for Demko to get up to speed again. But they need to get better in that area as well. But so I don't know. Based on the last week, I'm sure that if you look at it from the All-Star break on, Tocchet right there talked about the fact he's trying to avoid doing that and just focusing on this game. Which special team is the bigger concern? Because right now, if the way both of their special teams are going, they have no shot to get any kind of traction in the playoffs. Like, they've got to fix one or both of these in a hurry.
Well, that leads us into our stat that stands out. And regular listeners to the podcast know that we come up with a stat that stands out after each and every Canucks game. So we've been doing it here all season long. 77 down, 5 remaining. And there you can see on your screen, if you're watching here on YouTube, the stat that stands out: Canucks have allowed 7 power play goals in their last 5 games. 2 to the Dallas Stars, lost that game. 2 to the Vegas Golden Knights the other night, lost that game. 2 to the Los Angeles Kings. There's a theme here. They lost that one as well. And Arizona's only goal the other night picked them apart with the down low and into the slot. So
the other teams are making it look easy.
Right.
Like, that's the hard part. Like, when you look at these teams score, it is great looks, and they're able to move the puck around without any issue. And you look at the Canucks, and everything looks hard.
Yeah, and you wonder, what would it take to get Noah Juulsen back in the lineup? I don't know that he's the savior here necessarily, but you know, that is an area that he has been able to contribute. He's been lauded by the coaching staff, and it's not working for the guys that are in there. You heard Rick Tocchet asked yet again about Thatcher Demko, and they're just not coming out with a date yet.
Said soon, though. I mean,
I know.
Look, it'll happen next week, right? We have to believe that it's going to happen next week. It's not necessarily going to happen Monday. You know, I think the middle of the week's a reasonable possibility. I mean, if you want to play him against Edmonton, you'd love to have him in one game before the Edmonton game.
I think that's perfect world stuff, that if you could, and I'd say ease him in against Arizona because they only scored 1 against the Canucks, but they scored 7 against Vegas.
Yeah.
They've scored 8, 5, and 6 prior to that. So they've been, you know, it's kind of loose hockey right now for them. But I still think that would be a good tune-up game for Demko if you're going to ride him into Edmonton and hope that somehow you can pull off a victory against the Oilers and preserve that lead atop the Pacific Division. Again, it's down to 3, and the Oilers have a game in hand. Oilers don't play now until Wednesday, and then they finish with 6 games in 9 nights. I wasn't even sure that that was possible in NHL scheduling, but that's how they finish. So they've got this crazy compressed schedule to finish up, where the Canucks games are spaced out. They're done with their back-to-backs, but they've got Vegas, they've got Edmonton, they've still got a trip to Winnipeg as well before all is said and done. So the race is still very much on at the top of the Pacific Division. Want to get to our Rinkwide Vancouver 3-star selection, and these are our 3 stars. Sometimes they match up with the ones that are selected in the building, sometimes they don't. In this case, the 3 stars on Rinkwide, the 3 that were selected in the building, but in a slightly different order. At crypto.com, they were Adrian Kempe, Kevin Fiala, Drew Doughty, as you can see on the screen. We're going Kempe, who had the 2 goals. He opened the scoring, and then he closed it as he got in behind Quinn Hughes. Shorthanded effort, slipped at 5-hole on Casey DeSmith for his 27th goal of the season. The
guy's what do you make of that last goal? Like, I was shocked to see Quinn Hughes get beat like that. And I know he was in for the entire power play, and he logs a lot of minutes, and that was late in the game. But I did not expect to see that.
Yeah, I think it was all offense, no defense at that stage of the game. Yeah. And Kempe's, I mean, the guy's got wheels.
Yeah, he does.
I don't love the 1-3-1, obviously, but I like the balanced scoring that the Kings have. And you saw it tonight with Kempe and Fiala. And, you know, Kopitar didn't score, but he had a couple of points. Mm-hmm. And Trevor Moore did score, got to 30. You know, nobody talks about Trevor Moore. He leads their team in scoring, and he's got 30. I didn't like the hit on Quinn Hughes. Led to a little scrum at center ice and a penalty, but Canucks sticking up for their captain, as they should. Back to the 3 stars. Kempe was the 1st star with 2 goals and an assist. Drew Doughty, you know, the old man still got it for around 15 yeah. goals in the season. He also had an assist, and there you go, the toothless smile of Drew Doughty and Kevin Fiala with a goal and an assist. So multiple.
And he loves having success against the Canucks.
Doughty. Yeah, absolutely. No, long history between these two teams, a team like that. 7 of 8 points the Kings take off the Vancouver Canucks. Yeah. So just keep that in mind. If in fact
it's amazing because yeah. they got hammered by Calgary the other day. Like, how does this happen?
It feels like they're in their head. It feels like they're in, like, before the puck even drops, it feels like that whole 1-3-1 thing yeah. is now in the Canucks' head. Maybe you don't show Cam Talbot as much respect. Like, again, they scored 3 goals on the road. I would like to have thought that, you know. Fine, they wasted a Teddy Bluger goal, his first since the first game out of the Christmas break against the Philadelphia Flyers, which they
40
wasted,
games.
They wasted that night as well. Let's just quickly run through the Canucks goals, because we haven't really talked an awful lot about them. But Brock's up to 39, so yep. he's got 5 to go. He's going to get to 40, which we'll wait till he gets there before we congratulate him. But he's set himself up now to be a 40-goal scorer in the NHL, so certainly something to watch over the final 5. Nice play by Pettersson, a little bit of a delay there. Recognized that Pierre-Luc Dubois without a stick yeah. and got the puck to Besser, who took the puck hard to the net and, you know, kind of bounced around, but it found its way in. There was enough to like. And again, it made it a 2-1 game and gave the Canucks a little bit of life. And you thought maybe the outcome would be a little bit different. Ultimately, it wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, when they got that goal and they made it 2-1, the Canucks started carrying the rest of the play in the first period. It was good, right? It did get them settled. You know, we talked about, should Rick Tocchet have called a timeout? He didn't. Didn't need to, it turned out, because they did wind up scoring later. And don't assume, right? Like, think of Kuzmenko last year. Sat on 39 for a while.
That is true. No assumptions. You're right. He's got to get it, but I think he will.
How about Kuzmenko right now in Calgary? What is it, 17 points in 23 games with the Flames?
Yeah, garbage time. I'm not too concerned about his point totals. Dakota Joshua up to 16. We talked about the tough start to the night for him, but that was a pretty play. Hronek with the pass to Miller, mm-hmm. slashes through the D, and there is Dakota Joshua to bang home a rebound. So 16 with the amount of time that he's missed. He'd have to, you know, go on a little bit of a heater here down the stretch to
get Irf and 20. I battle on Joshua all the yeah. time, right? Like, we go back and forth on the Hronek Joshua thing and who should be the priority, and I'm all on team Dakota Joshua. It's too bad Irf's not here, because I told him, I'm like, the guy's... He's a 20-goal scorer right now. Oh, you can't. He's not. He doesn't even have 20. And anyway.
And the other one was Teddy Bluger banks it in off a sprawling Cam Talbot after Nikita Zadorov. And the shorthanded goal, as much as we dumped on the Canucks penalty kill in the first part of the game, they had the 5-on-3 there with Myers and Zadorov off. And Phil Hronek basically ran 25 seconds by himself yeah. in the corner. It's not stuff that's going to make a highlight reel, but the battle level was certainly amped up there. And that penalty kill looked pretty good. And on top of that, they score a shorthanded goal to, again, you know, there's 8 minutes left in the hockey game and it's 5-3, but They give, they get, they score a shorty, and then they give up the shorthanded goal to Kempe. So cuts both ways. On the night, the Canucks power play goes 0-for-3 with the shorthanded goal against, and the Kings power play was 2-for-4 with the shorty against. So LA wins the special teams battle going away, and they win the hockey game as well.
But the Zadorov situation on that was pretty amusing, because he sets up the shorthanded goal and within seconds takes a penalty for delay of game, making it a 5-on-3. Yeah, I mean, when you looked at him carrying the puck, right, like that's the best of him. When he can be so dangerous when he does that, you know, people want to get out of his way and winds up setting up Teddy Bluger for that goal. So another player the Canucks are going to have to make a decision at the end of the season on, right? And you look at what his numbers potentially are. For the Canucks, he's a bottom pair defenseman, and you know, you can't necessarily pay him that given the role that you're asking him to play. So, you know, we'll see, you know, what the future is for Zadorov with the Vancouver Canucks, but certainly he's got an opportunity to be a big part of any potential playoff. A lot has to happen before this team can go on any kind of run.
Well, 5 to go here in the regular season, starting on Monday against the Vegas Golden Knights, the fourth and final matchup between those teams this season. And now, the Canucks were full value for a win at T-Mobile a month ago, but we know that they got their lunch handed to them and again ran into some penalty problems. Zadorov got kicked out of that hockey game. Jack Eichel took over, Marchessault as well. So we'll see what the Canucks can do in terms of a response, some redemption. 5 remaining, Vegas and Arizona at home, then to Edmonton, a home game against Calgary. That'll be the home finale. They'll do their year-end awards and all those types of things on April the 16th, and then they wrap up the regular season on April 18th in Winnipeg. So 3 at home, 2 on the road for the Vancouver Canucks over the final 5, and still this excitement about the return of playoff hockey to this city for the first time in 9 years, but it does have to be tempered with results like this one and the one at the Fortress the other night against the Golden Knights.
You know, I've maintained that this is not just about a team that has not played in the playoffs, real playoffs, not the bubble stuff with no crowds. Understand, this team missed out on games in March and April, right? And it was those games to not just get yourself a playoff spot, but also to get into form before the playoffs. All of that has been lost. And I do think that that's showing to a point right now, right? That, you know, remember the season stopped. They were actually out of the playoffs from a point standpoint, but they were based on point percentage. And, you know, they wound up getting in with the expanded playoffs or the play-in, as it were. Those games and those experiences were also missed. They're going through this for the first time. And that has to matter. And I don't know how long it'll take. I don't know if you're a player, what you need to all of a sudden flip the script and feel good about yourself, right? I mean, if you're Thatcher Demko or Elias Lindholm and you come back and you get to play a game and you play well, is that enough? If Pettersson in these last 5 games can score 2 goals, is that enough, right? Like, what will it take for certain areas of this team to feel good about itself going into the playoffs? Because the playoffs, you know, it has happened before. I mean, you know, the Canucks are battling Edmonton. I go back to 2006. That was a turtle derby to get into the playoffs. Like those teams, Edmonton was awful down the stretch and gets to game 7 of a Stanley Cup final, right? And I'm not, you know, going to play the anything can happen card. But for certain players, it might not take that much. And if all of a sudden they show certain things, everybody else can rally around it. Like if Pettersson gets 2 goals in his last 3 games, that enough?
Right now, I would take 2 goals in his final 5
games. Well, if Pettersson gets a goal and an assist against Edmonton in a big game and the Canucks win, is that enough? Right? Like, what's it going to take for any particular player? Because we thought after the Buffalo game, oh, he's got it figured out, right? There was a little stretch there of a couple of games. Oh, it's done. He's back. And then all of a sudden, here we are. But what's it going to take? Because for some guys, it might not take much.
Well, we'll see what the final 5 games have to offer for the Vancouver Canucks starting on Monday. And that's when we will be back to do our next edition of Rinkwide, or Farhan Gafar is going to join me and sitting in that chair that you are sitting in. But Farhan,
I call him Junior.
For our first streaming episode, our return to live podcasting. Great to have you in. So thank you for that.
I grew the playoff beard just for you.
I saw that. And we've got a cast of thousands behind the cameras that you can't see here for our first go around to make sure that we actually got to streaming. And I think it's that part of it technically has been a big success. So thanks to Grady and to Mike and Jacob for their work behind the scenes. We're excited about this. Hopefully the Canucks can hold up their end of the bargain, but we will do this after each and every Canuck game, the final 5 of the regular season and in the playoffs as long as they are around. But for Farhan, this is Jeff. Again, thanks so much for checking us out live streaming on YouTube and all of our social channels as well. We'll continue to work in some of your listener feedback. We just wanted to get through night number 1 in this format, so keep the feedback coming, and we certainly will incorporate it into future episodes of Rinkwide Vancouver. The final score one more time: the Los Angeles Kings 6, the Vancouver Canucks 3. You've been watching and listening to Rinkwide Vancouver.